Out of Compton edition of the, well, not technically. We're going to talk about Straight Out of Compton.
That's the best thing we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, if you could only hear what was said off the air, then it would have been a much cooler show. But
I like. Why are you going to tell them about the show that's better than the one we're about to give them?
Right. Sorry.
Here's the B-roll, guys.
It's all downhill from here.
It's all downhill from here.
I like fried chicken.
That's right. There you go. I enjoy it by the one and only format. The one and only Gannon, Alika in the house, the proud owner of Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Proprietor, even.
Make sure that you guys, if you're in town, to come on down every Wednesday to Maui Comics and Collectibles for New Comic Book Wednesday. He's got some wonderful comics every single week, and he's got a plethora of them.
And the credit card machine should be working tomorrow.
And the credit card machine should be working if you make it.
It'll be a non-issue by the time this thing is on the air.
Fantastic.
Like, what the heck are they?
As if this was live or something.
That's right.
Right? Yeah,
good work. Well, gentlemen, first off, just want to say once again, it's my favorite day of the week because of the cast. I love coming down here and doing with you guys. Okay. First off, Gannon, how has your week been, sir? I know you haven't been doing much nerd watching.
I haven't been. I've been letting you guys down the last few weeks. I haven't gotten around to seeing anything. Didn't see Fantastic Four either still. But well, apparently I dodged a bullet.
Well, yeah.
A huge bullet.
Would it be all right to ask what it is you have been doing?
No.
Okay. Got it.
Moving on.
Okay, moving right along. And what you have been doing has nothing to do with the minorities, yes?
No, we're actually been having the next month off.
Oh,
so,
you're in hiatus.
Hiatus,
good. Format.
Sure.
Sir, what about you? How has your week been?
I, too, have not been watching nerds.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. What have you been doing?
Nothing really. Writing the usual.
The usual?
Playing phone games.
Good. Anything? Any phone games that have been?
No, not really. Simpsons, Tapped Out, Hearthstone, the usual.
The usual. Anything else exciting? Anything else you've noticed this week that you'd like to talk about? Or no? We're good?
I like chicken.
Oh, good. It's excellent.
There's a lot more pulsers on the wall.
Oh, that's good.
I've noticed that as well.
Good. It's good to hear.
I've been noticing a lot of Format's veiled racism.
I'm glad you picked up on that, sir. A little bit.
Oh, is that a thing?
Alika, what about you, my friend? What have you been up to this week?
I've been doing nothing but nerdy things. What? I've been catching up for everybody.
What have you been catching up on?
Nintendo. I've got The Critic. Been watching that. I haven't watched The Critic in like a decade.
The Critic's a great show.
Oh my god, it's like a laugh a minute. I didn't realize how jam-packed it was.
John Lovitz at his peak in 94?
Yeah, something like that. And the humor is like so timely, like they just rip on every movie.
Oh, fantastic. I've got to borrow it from you to watch it again. I wish somebody would get the rights to stream it or something.
Yeah, or bring it back. John Lovitz is still alive. You don't need to be attractive to be a cartoon.
That is very true. Man, I wish my life was a cartoon. That'd be great. Anyway, other than that, look who's back! Scotty D is in the house! I don't think he's made it back.
And his glorious nips.
And his nips. By the way, speaking of nips, Silent Sean is in the house as well.
Yes.
So, big shout out to Silent Sean. He's in the house as well. Don't break kayfabe, Scotty D. Scotty D, Silent Sean is in the house.
Oh.
All right, good. Anyway.
He was so quiet, I didn't see him. He's right there.
Well, listen, Gannon, we are disappointed that you could not join us this week because we did do a movie. There's a lot of stuff on the table we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about Rogue One, the new Star Wars thing. Disney had their expo. We got new directors for Star Wars movies. There's a ton of stuff we're going to talk about. But first and foremost, because it's not necessarily nerd, but it's definitely pop culture, and we definitely deal in pop culture here at the Nerd Watch. By the way, I'm G Money. If I didn't introduce myself, did I? Just in case.
No, you didn't.
Do you have to?
I don't have to.
Yeah. No, I think you did in the intro.
You have to.
Everyone goes.
Welcome, everybody. G Money. Yeah, you did.
I did. Okay,
30
good.
Minutes
good.
From now,
just
I can be like, hey, did I introduce myself?
That's my favorite part of the day.
That's my favorite part of the show. Whoa, there we go. Okay, so Gannon, I hope you don't mind. We are going to be doing a bit of spoiling of the film that we watched this week. We got one big film in, and that was Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah. NWA breaks up, by the way.
Yeah. Shocker.
No!
Big spoiler.
One of them dies. One of them makes headphones for a living.
I mean, that's the best part about this movie is you can't really spoil it.
No, you can't. Yeah. No, you can't. So,
I didn't know what happened.
Let's,
Straight out of
Meme. Wait. That was about real of, people?
About real
straight
people.
Out of meme material?
A doctor?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
That was the worst part of the whole movie.
Yeah. Format and myself wrote a review for Maui Watch. They're both up there right now if you want to read them. We have two very interesting opinions on the matter. We both share the same opinion, but I come from a different perspective than he does. And it's a very cool, it's a very good dichotomy as far as how we feel about the film. So, check it out. MauiWatch.com.
I have to Google that.
Yeah. Google that.
Don't use Urban Dictionary.
Oh, okay. Good.
It's closer to Deuteronomy.
So, yeah. Alika, sir.
Doing nothing. Like
since you were there and you were,
I was there. I lived
you were there.
You lived this.
I lived it, no.
You lived it.
He was one of the founding members before they came out.
You're Arabian Prince?
Yeah, holy I was almost 7 years old. I was there, man.
That is insane. So let's start with you. What did you think of this 2.5 hour NWA
episode? I didn't want it to end, man. It was awesome.
You liked it?
They should have done like way more concert scenes. I was like, it felt like a concert on the big screen. It was great.
Mm-hmm. It definitely had that feel. Good feel.
Yeah. And Eazy-E in character, like, you know, I don't even know the actor's name. I feel bad now, but
Jason Mitchell.
Jason Mitchell, yeah.
He was awesome. On stage is where it really sealed it. Like, I was on the fence when I first was watching the dramatic parts, and then when he got on stage, the mannerisms were like, wow.
Yeah, he really had the tone of Eazy-E, both in vocally and, of course, in mannerisms.
Yeah.
So he was very good. What were the things that really stuck out in your mind that you really liked?
Well, obviously, Ice Cube's son was also killed it as Ice Cube.
Well, you know, what's funny is I didn't think, when I walking in, I didn't think he was going to be that good, but you are right. He's amazing.
Spot on. It was so, like, you felt like you were just watching Ice Cube on the screen and then a bunch of actors.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. I agree.
It was a good, and, you know, I as a kid, I didn't really know all the background story and everything, so the revisionist history that kind of went on or whatever,
yeah,
it was just like a clean way to get the story out in 2.5 hours. You know, it was like, I would have loved to see more movie, but I don't think it would have.
It felt like to me, and I mentioned this in my review, it felt like there was a lot of stuff left on the cutting room floor. It felt like there was a lot of film left. And I'm hoping that the Blu-ray that comes out will have all that extra footage, because it seems that way.
And it was 2.5 hours.
It was. Literally was 2.5 hours. That's not a joke.
Oh, yeah. But I could have gone longer. It was great.
That's exactly what I said.
It's hard to keep kids in a movie that long these days.
Yeah.
Kids shouldn't have been in that movie.
True. Point
but
taken.
They were.
But they were.
They were.
They were.
You know why?
And a selfie stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. There was a selfie stick in the theater. Oh, that was the weirdest thing ever.
Weird. It was weird.
Just so strange. And it was like, I don't know.
Dude, people are taking selfie sticks in the bathroom. Is the theater really that? Is that surprising?
I that's true, I guess.
It is
for me. Yeah. You just see a selfie stick pop under the stall. Hello.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. It's the weirdest thing at this point. So you are on board. You like it. Matter of fact, you want to see it again, is what you told
me. Yeah, very few new movies I would go to see again. I would go to see Straight Outta Compton on the big screen again.
Format, sir. What did you think of Straight Outta Compton? Because all four of us were there. Scotty D, Alika, yourself, and me were all there.
Mm-hmm.
What was your take on the film?
I liked it. I too thought it was short.
Really?
Yeah, I felt that there was a lot more they could have said. But I also thought maybe the movie wasn't the right platform for it. Like, this could have been an entire season of Behind the Music.
Right.
And I could have sat down through the entire season.
Yeah, like, they left out all the Dre abuse, but did we really need that?
Well, I'll talk about that more. We'll get into that a little more later. They did. So for you, was it a film that, I mean, it's obviously not definitive, but would you say that this is something that you enjoyed enough to go back to the theater to or own? Or
no, yeah, I'm going back this coming Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, we have a group of friends that didn't want to see it on premiere because they thought it was going to be packed.
Right.
So they're going to go this coming Sunday, and we're going with them, so.
Now, Gannon, you're no stranger to NWA, Straight Compton, obviously, but
I lived it, man.
Yeah,
straight out of low cash.
Yeah,
CD4, man. Yeah. We got a screen. CD4.
Are you a if not so much a fan, but have you listened to NWA? Are you?
I wasn't the biggest hip hop fan back then. I was kind of tangentially interested in a lot of it back when it was going on. So you know, I'm aware of all of those guys, but can I pick a song out of lineup? Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I paid attention to a lot of those guys' careers.
Why does the song's got to be in a lineup, sir?
Whoa! Wow.
Wow, that was a good catch.
Damn.
Sometimes something's just a turn of phrase.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Talk about pushing an agenda.
I like chicken.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
For
go
the record,
there.
Japanese love fried chicken too, but they call that tempura.
That's true. So, has this film interested you at all? Or
I do want to see it eventually. Just haven't made the time. I'm actually planning to catch up on a few movies this weekend.
Good. What are you hoping to catch up on? Before we get into,
I will eventually go see Fantastic Four. Just to get it out of the way.
Cannot wait.
You gotta let me know so I can go with you. We can be miserable together and split it,
right? But yeah, I want to see Straight Outta Compton too. There's another one coming out, but I don't know if you want to get into what's coming out this weekend right now.
Let's talk about that later. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that later.
But I do want to catch up with those two at some point this weekend.
Good. So Scotty D, you were with us as well. Scotty D, welcome back to the show. By the way, thank you for coming. Scotty D, you were with us in the theater. What did you think of Straight Outta Compton?
Well, that's pretty much my time frame,
right?
Like,
I think that's everybody. All five of us. That was
us. I'm a little bit older than.
That's true. Good point.
So that's
emphasis
my
on the
grad
little.
My graduation years. Right. You know, so I already knew, most people here knew the backstories already.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it because they kept it true. Like, not, I'm not saying factual true, I'm talking like storyline true.
Sure, right. I got you.
The side characters stayed side characters.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg was in it for bits. He's not part of NWA, but he had a little bit there. And
yeah, and Tupac.
Pac and DOC and all them, they had.
YNG, all them.
They were all. Yeah. Bits and pieces that made the story, but they didn't dwell on them very long.
Sure.
Snoop Dogg being shorter than Dre was a little funny.
He's the one guy in that movie that looked nothing like anybody else. He did not look anything like Snoop Dogg. Everybody else looked like their
Pac
character. Kind of
looked like Pac, yeah.
That guy who played Tupac. It was uncanny.
I almost thought it was going to be the hologram.
Why didn't they get the hologram? Yeah, just use the hologram.
That's true. Good point. But the guy who they got was insane. I could not believe it. But anyway, the guy
who played Heller is amazing.
Jerry Heller. Oh, yeah. Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti killed it.
Yeah. Like, and whenever I look at Paul Giamatti, I only see him until like he starts acting, and then I kind of like lose myself into that. He's really good.
One of my favorite things about Paul Giamatti in that movie was, and they could easily have done it, and thank God F. Gary Gray didn't do what I thought he was going to do. He doesn't bury Jerry Heller.
Yeah, it's not completely villainized.
You watch Jerry Heller bury himself.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting because he's very sympathetic, and you actually kind of agree with what he's doing for the group, but you don't side with him. It was a very good balancing act. You know he's dirty. Right,
but you're still enjoying where it's going.
Correct, and you actually sympathize with him because he's the guy that gets his hands dirty. The music business is a dirty business back in the 90s.
And you really side with him in that scene where he stands up for the group against the police outside of the studio.
Yes,
and you're like, okay, this guy's got something going for him. He's got some balls. He's sticking up for these guys.
Right. That whole scene was quite an interesting setup. So
the only person you truly hate in there is Suge.
Right.
Yeah, and he's meant to be hated.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, Scotty D, is this a film you'd watch again, or are you...
I am going back on Sunday, right. Also.
Oh, fantastic. So, we'll go around and get everybody's star review here, but let me dwell on this movie a little more, and then you guys jump in.
Give it to us from the Christian perspective.
Thank you for...
Think about the sign of times right now going on with all the unrest, and now it's almost kind of mirror imagey.
Well, if you want to be honest, Jesus doesn't see color, so for me that wasn't an issue.
He's colorblind?
Absolutely. But anyway, listen. Here's the thing about this
movie. He's never been to Compton.
I've walked those streets before. I'm from L.A. I grew up in North Hollywood. I'm very Since familiar. Wait,
North Hollywood and Compton are not the same.
Not, but I grew up in North Hollywood.
You get stabbed by a drag queen before you get stabbed.
Ice Cube. It's true. North Hollywood was a very different place when I was growing up than what it is now. It's a barrio now. But anyway, you know, catching the public or the public transit was much more dangerous than catching the school bus.
That scene was awesome.
That was a great scene. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to pick apart Straight out of Compton really quick here for those of you that listen. We all grew up in the era, listened to the music and things like that. There were things that were nagging that were nagging at me when I was watching the film. First of all, one of the interesting things was is that everyone is right when they say that this is a very whitewashed history of NWA. One of the original members was never even mentioned in the film, Arabian Prince. He left way before Ice Cube left. He left like right before the album was supposed to come out. And he was actually more the pioneer than Cube was as far as knowing that this train was not going to last. So he doesn't get mentioned in the film at all, which isn't a big deal, but you know, it's something to remember.
No one talks about the first Beatle.
Yeah, right. True. Very true. Mm-hmm.
And when people mention the group, they don't really... Unless they're a really deep fan. Right. Like, I'm just a cursory fan.
Arabian Prince is actually on the cover of Straight Outta Compton because there's six guys on that cover.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but we can double check the facts on that. The other thing that really bugged me, or a couple of things that really bugged me about the movie were the depiction of NWA at the time being crusaders of freedom of speech. That wasn't the case at all. They weren't. I didn't like that they were portraying themselves as being First Amendment crusaders, because back in that day they weren't. All they were trying to do was incite a response. Not necessarily a riot, but they weren't free speech crusaders. That was never.
Well, isn't that what speech is about?
No. I understand.
It doesn't matter
that they weren't as articulate as they are in the movies. You know,
right?
Yeah,
hindsight is 20/20. But they were free speech advocates by speaking freely. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing: it wasn't as if they were. Whenever their response to the whole gangsta, their whole reality rap persona was to do those things. Was to get more guns and to personify what they were talking about. The other thing I had an issue with, because if I'm being honest, the biggest issue I had with the powerful scene with Jerry Heller and the guys never happened.
Sure.
Okay. Now this is what bothered me about it, because the history of what happened to them and what actually started the writing of F the Police. What actually was the catalyst for that was that the guys were in a car top down, and you had Eazy-E and the boys shooting paintballs at people. The cops pulled them over, and then they threw them to the ground because they had guns that looked like guns and they were just paintball guns. So that was the catalyst. They didn't accept responsibility for
youthful angst.
Right.
From policy.
It doesn't take away what the scene was saying is, because stuff like that happens all the time.
Right.
And if you're lucky enough to have a white guy standing next to you, the cops aren't going to kill you.
These guys weren't killed at that stop, and I think it was unfair to portray them as if they were.
Yeah, but nowadays it's almost more likely that they'll be killed at that kind of stop.
Well, with what's happening now, the whole reflection of what's happening now is obviously it's a mirror. They're trying to mirror what's happening now as opposed to what happened then. I just think what was happening back then was not what's happening now. I think it's a very different. There's a different. Once again, that word dichotomy. Between the two eras. So I found that interesting. I think that they missed an opportunity for Dre to step up to the plate and accept responsibility for the abuse that he did partake in back in the day. But what I'm saying is that here's an opportunity for him to make an amends.
Yeah, and I can see that. That would be...
Right.
But it's hard to... It's hard. The only way to make amends is to show...
I would think the settlement out of court would have made amends.
Correct.
No, that's not amends. It's like, he's a famous guy, and he abused a woman.
Right.
And he's just being quiet about it. He abused men, probably more than two.
More than that, right.
And, you know, to take responsibility publicly, you have to be the you have to take the whips. You got to take all the lumps.
Right.
You can't be like, I did this guy's be easy on me.
But
right.
I think
you know what I mean?
That,
like,
that becomes a really Dr. Dre movie.
Right.
And not an NWA movie.
No, but you
movie.
See, that was it was happening in that. It's about it was the happening group. At that time. And what I think is, and what the reason why I push so hard about it is because if you notice, the person or the people that are pushing this movie the most is not Dre. It's Ice Cube, it's DJ Yella, and it's MC Ren. Yella and Cube.
Well,
because
Ice Cube looks great in the movie.
Right, but the fact of the matter is that Dre's not pushing it because he knows there was going to be pushback for this movie, at least in my estimation. So I'm not. So what I'm saying is that I thought that the film, even though as over embellished as it was and how they whitewashed the history of NWA, I will say that I really thought the movie was great. I liked it a lot. I thought O'Shea Jackson Jr. was amazing.
Yes.
I have to say something too, which no one ever talking about. I have to give props to Ice Cube for number one, being able to keep his son out of the public eye for as long as he has. So good job. He doesn't end up on tabloids. That's very cool. Good stuff. Secondly, his performance.
Maybe he didn't do anything bad.
But that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he doesn't fall into that.
Wasn't his son in Are We There Yet? Wasn't he one of the kids in that?
No, I don't think he was. Okay. I don't think he was.
Yeah, this was supposed to be his coming out.
Yeah. Okay, all right. But here's the thing is that his performance was so good that I would watch the movie and I would forget that was his son.
I mean, that's what you want out of a movie experience, yeah. Just to feel like you're there.
I would forget. Totally forget. Same thing with Jason Mitchell. His portrayal as Eazy-E, I forgot that he was an actor. Because he looked and sounded and acted just like Eazy-E. Amazing stuff. Good movie. I thought that in my review on MyWatch.com that I keep pushing, one of the last lines I say in the review is that this is a film that gives you a gangster rap version of the Avengers. They, even though they may not be heroes, the film tries to portray them as such. And I think that's a fair assessment. I'm not being unfair to them. Listen, I've been listening to their albums. And I have to tell you something. Ice Cube is the guy who stands out the most in that group.
Yeah, of course. In his early stuff,
he's amazing.
After he broke off, was even...
MC Ren, not so much. Dre's got good beats, but he samples a lot of stuff, which is fine. And MC Ren is so... He's not exactly the most... prolific guy behind the mic.
Well, that's why when you look at, like, even the poster, it's the three guys up front and Yella and Red in the back.
Yeah. And I have to say that the other thing, I guess, my only other criticism of Straight Outta Compton is that I think that Dre and Cube come out looking too good. Like, they come off as being almost...
I think Dre comes out looking too good. Like... Ice Cube's been polishing his image since he broke off on his own.
Right.
He's really good at that.
But I mean, look, if you
he's been Hollywood since it was okay for rappers to be Hollywood.
But I mean, spoiler, Gannon. But here's the thing: when they have that scene where he's in the house with his family and he's sitting there writing the script for Friday,
yeah.
F. Gary Gray had to put that in. I was like, going, "Oh, well, this is just your typical family man kind of thing." And it's like, not really. I just, you know,
do you know?
But that's true.
Well,
that's true. Good
out
point.
Of the group, Eazy-E was the only gangbanger.
He was the only one. He was the only one slanging drugs. Yes.
Right.
That's true. Good point.
Dre,
that's not to diminish any of their credibility.
No, you can
live in, around, or near this kind of stuff and be...
Right. I mean,
there
are definitely hardened people.
You don't have to be the guy with the gun in your hand to sing about it going on in your neighborhood.
True, and they weren't. And just like F the Police, the line about you thinking that every guy that looks like a thug is selling narcotics is not correct. And he's right. Those are just prejudices against themselves. But
they're just geographic. Stuck there, you know
what I mean?
Like, if you grow up in that neighborhood and look a certain way, they're gonna lump you in with the worst guy in that block. Like, that guy did that, so you're probably capable of that because it's your neighborhood.
That's very true.
And it's just a prison for them.
Which is what Cube showed in the beginning by coming out of the house and immediately getting thrown against the cop car.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's very, like I said, I have very few criticisms of the film, those being like the three worst. Of the criticisms. I thought the movie had a great first half. The second half, when Suge Knight became very pivotal to the movie, I thought it kind of slowed down and got a little uninteresting.
I didn't really enjoy his scenes as much.
Even though
he played the part right, he was a good actor as Suge Knight, but it was just like, don't know what it was about those scenes.
It became a very uninteresting movie.
Well, it was perfect for him to be there because that's when that whole group had the most turmoil.
That's true. And
he caused
all
and it never stuff. And it never really feels like that turmoil was enough. It almost felt like there should have been more.
They could have done this in a couple movies, actually.
That's what I'm saying. This should have been like a trilogy.
Listening to all this music, there's so many songs that you wanted to hear in this movie that you definitely didn't.
There's an entire diss album.
No, not just album, not just there. Like back and forth albums.
The Eazy-E album where all he did is sing about...
Killer on 187th Street.
It's how much he hates Dre and Cube. It's,
and there's a picture of Dre in that Motown jacket. Yeah, and
I think that that animosity between N.W.A. at that time was personified by the No Vaseline rap from Ice Cube against N.W.A. Sure. I think that that was kind of the personify that everybody had this...
Well, they showed the Cube diss.
Yeah.
Because it was a great diss
album. That is one of the... I think, in my opinion, that's one of the best disses.
But they left
ever.
It there. They, it did feel like, at the end of the movie, that they wanted everyone to feel happy, happy, joy, joy.
It did. It did. And I felt
and that group was nowhere near happy, happy, joy.
That's very true. Good
they
point.
Were, you know... I don't know how many times you could say the N-word and the F-word and be like, hey, but we're...
Yeah, the ending
give
felt,
us a hug at
the
end.
Okay, well, the Dre ending... That was the one problem.
The ham-fisted ending like
and
that. Was
I
really
still
ridiculous.
Feel really great about this movie, but yeah, you're right. Like, just dropping the Dre walking out the door and like, I'm going to make Aftermath.
Yeah,
like, it was
like,
a big deal. It's like, you know,
yeah, just
maybe if it happened while 50 Cent was big or Eminem was like the giantest guy in the world, then it would have had some impact. But now it's like, Aftermath. And now it's like, we're over it already.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So, listen... To wrap it up, gentlemen, what would you give Alika? What would you give your star rating?
So I'm not like a film guy, so nobody get mad at me. Right, but this is exactly what I expect out of a movie. So I'm going to say this gets my top rating of 5 stars.
Wow.
Because this is what I want to see out of a movie. I was enthralled. I was on the screen. There's nothing that disappointed. The musical scenes, everything. It had everything.
Would it be wrong for me to ask
you? The concert
you,
scenes were great.
Yeah. Would it be wrong for me to ask you how many guns up you'd put? just checking. So
that
five,
racially coded language,
five,
G-Money.
Five, sorry. No, just, 5 stars.
5 stars.
Wow.
You got 5 stars
Scotty
me.
D, what four. About you? 4. Wow. Four, Matt. You, sir.
3.
3.
Solid 3.
I am exactly with format on it, but I added a half a star.
I don't do halves. That's why I.
Oh,
gave
is that why I put half a star in for O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s performance? There's an extra half star just because of his performance as his dad was amazing. So for me, it's a 3.5 star.
You know,
movie.
He had to try out for the part.
Yeah, I heard. I was reading about that. He actually had to audition. So
they didn't give him a participation medal.
They didn't. He had to actually audition. Good for him. So anyway, we wholeheartedly, even though we disagree on certain things and the way they were portrayed, I have to say that this felt like I said, I'll say it again. It feels like a gangster rap version of an Avengers movie.
I disagree.
It's a very nerd. It's a very. It becomes NWA almost becomes very pop culture in this.
They
film.
Are. Pop
well, it is. I mean, this is. Them getting almost... their like epitaph on the tombstone. This is the pop culture here. This is how we remember you guys.
Right.
The major milestones in your career lumped into an easy to swallow pill.
True.
You know what I mean?
Very good point. And you bring it back to the drugs. First the lineup from Gannon, now the drugs from you. It's ridiculous. Anyway,
moving on.
I'm glad we had a chance to see it. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see the director's cut because I think it's going to be a lot longer than what it was.
I'll watch it.
There's no doubt about that for sure, guaranteed. So, other than that, gentlemen, interesting news on the nerd front. We've got a ton of stuff happening. First off, today. This evening, I would like to recognize something that Gannon put up. The wonderful Yvonne Craig passed away from cancer.
Did you say it was wonderful that Yvonne Craig passed away?
No, the wonderful Yvonne Craig. She was a wonderful. She was wonderful. As if you don't know that name, she of course was Batgirl in the original series with Adam West.
She was also an Orion slave girl in Star Trek.
Yeah, in Star Trek. And she was a knockout. First of all, she was an absolute knockout.
She was still looking pretty good at her advanced age towards the end, too. I was looking at some pictures of her.
Yeah, she's
she held in there. She looked great.
She's quite the looker. So, big shout out to her. You shall be missed, Yvonne Craig. And she looked hot in those leotards.
That was
I don't know if there'll be a hotter Batgirl.
Yeah, I don't think
she made me feel a little less weird about seeing Batman and Robin every week in the tights.
Yeah, right? Right. Before there was Oracle, there was Yvonne Craig playing Batgirl, and she did a great job. So you shall be missed.
I just remember that one episode of Batman where Adam West for whatever reason it is, he just kept turning into her and like cupping her boob. She's like, and then he'd like deliver his line like nothing happened.
Oh, that's too funny. So, Yvonne, you shall be missed, my dear. You've affected all of our lives as youth. So, anyway, let's get down to some business. First off, Star Wars. Rogue One has been cast. Story has been revealed. And we've had a director for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But now we've gotten everything else now. Star Wars Rogue One. Let's get right
to
it.
Who's doing the music?
Well, we've got four. Well, let me. Before I get.
Oh, so we don't have everyone.
Okay. Hey, it's probably going to be John Williams.
I wouldn't bet on it.
No?
I wouldn't bet on
it. No?
No. Because really? It's not. It's an offshoot from the main universe. I can't imagine they'd feel like they would have to.
That's a good point.
No, that dude's still trucking.
Yeah, he's still going.
Forrest Whitaker is going to be in Rogue One. Felicity Jones.
I totally thought you were going to. Forrest Whitaker is doing the music for Rogue One.
Mads Mikkelsen from Hannibal is also going to be in the film as well. Gentlemen, from
as
what
Boffin?
I have no idea. According to what the report that has come out, you can read on facebook.com/nerdwatch. Gannon, have you read anything? Have you read up a little bit on Rogue One and what's happening?
I was a little confused by it because I remember hearing that there was a rumor of a bounty hunter spinoff film where the whole plot was going to be about how they got the stolen Death Star plans and be something that happened between
the original. I remember
but now it sounds like this Rogue One is that story.
It does.
Or part of it anyway. So I don't know if it's something that changed midstream or if that was the plan all along. Maybe it just got confused.
Right,
or,
it's possible. Whatever rumor just to throw off everybody.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like an interesting movie.
Wouldn't that be cool if this whole movie is riddled with bounty hunters?
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. If I may give you a little, according to what Kathleen Kennedy said, the producer of the film, she said Rogue One
in the first 5 minutes anyway.
Rogue One is set before the events of A New Hope. She says, overall, it's described as a departure from the core saga movies, but will still have elements that are familiar to the Star Wars universe.
Like space.
Right. It goes into new territory.
It's 70s haircuts.
Yeah. Exploring the galactic struggle from a ground war perspective while maintaining that essential Star Wars feel that fans have come to know, she added. And she said, Gareth is such an innovative director, and she said she's so excited to be working with him in the extraordinary ensemble cast he's selected for Rogue One. So,
what a great career he's having, by the way.
Gareth Evans?
Oh, beyond.
It's amazing.
He went from Monsters to Godzilla, now a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, now a Star Wars movie. It's insane. Monsters, I was not a big fan of. Unfortunately.
It's impressive when you watch Monsters in the sense that he made that movie with no money.
Yeah,
he absolutely made zero money. No money. So when you watch what he got with nothing, that's what's impressed by that movie, whether you like the movie or not.
That's very good. That's a very good point. Guess who else is in this film? Speaking of a series or a movie with no money,
Felicity Jones.
She is. Alan Tudyk from Firefly is in Rogue One.
What a graduation for that guy, too.
Can you believe that? That is insane. So he's in it as well. It's going to be quite the...
I'm hoping he's not the comic relief, though, in that movie. Because it would be such an obvious choice to have him
right,
the comic relief.
Exactly.
Because that's what he was doing in Firefly.
Yes, he was.
Ultimately.
You know that he's going to be bringing at least some
I would hope that that's not his primary function.
Well, remember all of the talk that we've been having about where Donnie Yen was going to be, or he was going to be in a Star Wars movie. Guess what? He's going to be in Rogue One. So he has been confirmed as one of the cast members of Rogue One.
What does he die? I want to know how he died.
You know he's not going to make it out, like,
because every American Shaker movie 7. Shafts him at some point.
So here's my question: Donnie Yen is in the film, and another gentleman from China, Jiang Wen, is also in the film. I'm wondering if they're the villains in Rogue One.
No, they show them all dressed up.
Oh, are they?
They're all
is that
the
whole
team?
Cast?
Yeah,
all
they
team?
Show them in the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I miss that?
They are the Rogue One
oh,
team.
Oh, you're right. I didn't.
Yeah,
I,
if you look
I,
at them.
There's the photo. Hello, I'm such an idiot. You're right.
No. So you thought the two Chinese guys were going to go Kung Fu on the Jedi?
No, I
thought they were going to be like the Council in the very first Phantom Menace, I thought, maybe. Okay, so Felicity Jones, where do I know her from? Why do I know that name?
She was in Amazing Spider-Man 2, if I'm not mistaken.
She was.
Wasn't she? I could be
wrong. Wasn't she in Felicity?
No, that was
Carrie. She was in Miss
That was
Jones.
Carrie Russell. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about.
The Devil and Miss Jones?
Well, anyway, Felicity...
Oh, there's a movie.
You have... have to admit, you have to admit the picture that we got was pretty cool. I mean, it looks pretty neat. Wow. I mean, we've got all the Star. We got a huge Star Wars set. It looks like
you didn't see it.
Take a look.
It'll be interesting to see what the tone they go for is, because it has to be so contained, but it also has to feel like it belongs to the original first trilogy.
Correct. So
it cannot feel like it's not a part of it at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like the tone of the movie has to fit.
That's who Felicity Jones is.
Who is she?
She played Theory of
Oh, the Theory of Everything. That was her.
Yeah.
Interesting. Did not know that.
See, the thing I'm enjoying about this whole thing is everyone just is guessing. No one knows what any of this.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I love about listening about new movies.
I agree.
Because every fanboy goes insane about trying to guess what's going on. It's like, no, it's this.
I won't watch the new trailer that came out with an extra 3 seconds. I'm tired of trailers. I just want to watch the damn movie
and be
entertained and surprised. I don't want to watch half of the movie clips and bits and pieces.
I can handle all these leaks and spoilers, but all this fanboy reaction stuff that just, like, the pot just keeps stirring.
People still don't know what episode 7 is about yet.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
With all the trailers that come out, they've revealed all the characters. We still don't know what episode 7 is about.
That's why, even Rogue One, we don't know anything.
Yeah.
We're guessing.
Right. I mean, even from... Gannon's point is well taken, because even in the trailer for episode 7... we still have no clue.
Yeah, it's super vague. The way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to get half the movie.
No, it's... And
I know the breathing guy gets a lightsaber.
Apparently, right. And we know that the lightsaber has hilts. We know these little small things. The breathing guy.
Every scene he has in the trailer is him going...
Straight out of the Empire.
Straight out of the Empire! Nice one.
No one made that meme.
I don't know his name, his real name.
John Boyega.
Oh, yeah, him.
Attack the Block.
That's the only thing he's been in that.
Yeah, that's it.
Another awesome graduation for that guy.
Yeah,
he was great in that movie.
I've got to watch that movie again, because the first time I watched it, I didn't like it. So I got to see it again.
No matter what, he's great.
He's good in it.
Even if you don't really get on board with the movie, he's fantastic. All right. And he was young. I think he was like 16.
I will check that out. And of course, as we know, Star Wars is owned by Disney, and Disney had their big D23 Expo, and a lot of this stuff is revealed from that expo.
Mm-hmm.
And switching gears from Star Wars to Marvel, Marvel also had some big reveals at this D23 Expo as well. Marvel had some interesting news regarding Doctor Strange. They put up some concept art. I have that up on the Nerd Watch. You just look for the big sign that says Doctor Strange on it.
I clicked on a link and I didn't see the concept.
There was no concept art on it?
Yeah, it just weren't coming up.
It doesn't really... it shows that one picture of, like, the Falcon and greenery.
Right.
And then they show, like, a proposed site map.
Correct.
And I think
they even had, like, they had an outline of the actual cape. Mm. And the
I was talking about Star Wars.
Oh, is that what you're talking? Shut up!
You moved on so fast. There was still more.
Sorry, I know I'm sorry. J.J. Abrams and Han Solo were there. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean Harrison Ford was there. But anyway,
J.J. who?
Yeah, J.J. who? The reason why I bring up Marvel so quickly is because there's a couple of very interesting things. Doctor Strange was announced. We got a little more detail on Doctor Strange. But more importantly, Captain America Civil War was there in full force, because Captain America himself, Chris Evans, was there along with his buddy, the one and only Falcon, was there.
Was Bucky? I thought his buddy was Bucky.
His buddy is in the Marvel television series, the Marvel movies. It's the Falcon.
Well, in the comics too. It's the run of comics, Captain America and the Falcon that was like a 50-80 issue run or something.
I posted on the Facebook.com/NerdWatch page of the description of the footage that was shown at D23. No cameras were allowed. No recording devices were allowed. If you went, everything, you were essentially
naked. You couldn't
take
a pen and paper in there to artistic renderings of what you saw.
There were no
maybe the guy that drew Brady.
You couldn't scratch it in the walls.
That's right. Nothing. So
it was a woman that drew Brady.
Luckily, we did get some interesting info from the footage that was shown of Captain America Civil War. I will give you fellas some of the descriptions, and you tell me what you think. First off, a scene showed Captain America and the Falcon fighting crossbones, with Black Widow aiding in the background. No big deal.
Still marginalized.
That's right.
How many movies she been in?
I know, right? Another scene revealed Falcon's pet Falcon. Red Wing. Red Wing is in it.
Great.
It's just going to flat out be the one from Predators, though.
No, here's
a little mechanized bird flying around as a camera system. A it's going to be a drone. Yeah.
Okay, well, you ruined my thing here, sir. He's not a winged bird we've come to know and love. He is, in fact, a drone, is what he is.
Damn Obama.
It would have been cheesy to have a real Falcon,
that's
right?
Well,
to be honest, it's cheesy they even still have it as a drone.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Another shot in the footage that was shown revealed Black Widow and Hawkeye fighting. Black Widow asks, "Are we still friends?" To which Hawkeye responds, "Depends on how hard you hit me." This confirms that Black Widow and Hawkeye will be on opposing sides of Civil War's conflict. A scene showed Bucky Barnes trapped in a cage.
That could have been some foreshadowing from Winter Soldier, though, because she was the one that gave up all that information towards the end of Winter Soldier.
That's right, she did in the very beginning.
Right at the very end of the movie, she put all those shield secrets out. So
she did.
That could have been some foreshadowing.
Because that was the information that was in the ship right in the beginning of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was okay. Mm-hmm. Another scene showed Bucky Barnes trapped in a cage. Another shot in this footage showed Black Panther in action for the first time, popping his claws out. Cool stuff.
Rare.
Yeah. Rare. A scene.
I hope that's not all we get.
I love the fanboys losing
and
it.
And then that's it. They move on to something
losing
else.
It on the picture of him about ready to do a stunt.
Oh, yes. I posted that on the Nerd Watch,
and I'm
too.
Like, is he going to be that scrawny? I'm like, it's a stuntman in a suit.
Right.
He's going to be moving around.
It's not even in the context of what you're going to see.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Give
anything to complain about.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, here's another cool thing. A scene shows Paul Rudd's Ant-Man being brought into Captain America's faction.
Yes.
Starstruck, Ant-Man stammers.
Yeah, that was the best.
I know you know a lot of super people, so I wanted to say thanks for thinking of me. I mean, thanks for thinking of me.
Paul Rudd can pull it off.
Paul Rudd's going to pull that off. I do that line no justice.
You did great.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
You're no Paul Rudd, though.
Definitely not. Tony Stark and Steve Rogers debate their opposing ideologies, with Stark saying, "Without boundaries, we're no better than them." Good stuff. Good stuff, Tony. Good for you, sir. So, the following events of Age of Ultron, the collective governments of the world pass an act designed to regulate all superhuman activity. This polarizes opinions amongst the Avengers, causing two factions to side with Iron Man or Captain America, which causes an epic battle between former allies. This is going to be insane.
The Iron and the Blue.
Oh, this is going to be insane.
And former enemies.
Still failing to see how this is a Captain America movie.
I don't see it either. I'm in total agreement with you. You know what I think it is? And correct me, guys, if I'm wrong. I think it's a Captain America film because of the subject matter in which we are exploring.
Yeah, like it's more government intrigue.
It's very political.
It's political.
It's very political.
And so it's easy.
But making it a Captain America movie, it's like they already expect you to side on his ideology. I think it would have been more interesting if they just called it Civil War. That way, even you as the viewer has
could
to
make
decide
a decision.
Which side
right, you get to pick.
Well, that was
being
such
that it's a
great
Captain America movie. Right. You're going to kind of automatically side with him because it's supposed to be his movie.
That's very true. Good point. That makes a lot of sense.
The good thing about how they wrote the original comics came out was they did a point of view from every single superhero.
And you were choosing. Yeah.
You picked and chose how...
Good point.
What
that is right.
side
that
you were
right.
able to pick. And, like, you could see it from the eyes of a guy that was predominantly a bad guy.
Right.
But chose a side.
Correct.
And then you could understand his reasoning. And then a good guy, like, my favorite is the Punisher. He chose Captain America's side.
Yeah, he did.
Even though he believes in the other way. But he's such a Captain America fanboy, he followed his man.
Yeah.
It's a great scene in that book, too.
It is. It's an amazing scene.
It's a shame that we're not going to get it in Civil War.
Yeah.
I don't. It's not.
Technically speaking, you could.
Yeah.
There is a Punisher cast. They are still shooting.
Yes.
Who knows?
I mean, it is farther down. It's nearer to the, like, Cap's death.
Yeah.
It is a very dramatic and a very effective scene in the comic between Captain America and the Punisher. No doubt about it. It's I have a good feeling that the reason why we are getting a Captain America movie because they want your because Gann is right, they want you to side with Captain America. But like I said, we can argue superhero registration all night long because if we're honest, I would be on Tony Stark's side. No doubt about it.
Of course,
Tony, you would.
Tony Stark.
Of course you would.
Crazy as it sounds, we would have to have a registration for.
Ironically enough,
G Money, reveal to the world your true identity. I challenge you.
Ironically enough, just like the books, though, there's very few superheroes that aren't registered.
That's true.
Everybody's information is known, or they already belong to some sort of organization.
That's true.
I think it's less about registration in this movie, and it's just more about accountability.
Good point.
Because the book, it was about registering and making yourself known and all that kind of stuff.
Well, no, the comic was also about accountability. Yeah. That was
how it started.
But exactly, when Speedball takes
But it was ironic that it was talking about registering all these superheroes when the only guy that didn't have his identity out there was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
At that point, everybody's identity was known. Everyone.
No, but here, and I have to say something. There is something so, and this is what comics have been doing for so long. The reason why I love comics so much is because in the beginning, when I used to read comics, comics never had an agenda. So when you read something like, and when I say that, I mean as in, they give you both sides of an issue, and they have you decide. I love that. I've always loved that about comics.
Well, because even whether the writer is liberal or conservative,
whatever the story is.
The thing is, the medium is so loose and so unserious, supposedly, that they're able, they even subconsciously feel comfortable exploring other points of view that they weren't.
The fact that they ask the reader the question, what do you think?
Yeah.
That's what's
the same
awesome.
With like X-Men and Avengers.
Yes.
When they battled.
Yeah.
You picked.
Right.
Yeah, you picked what side.
Yeah.
But that was more just a smashing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you still picked.
It did have varying backgrounds. And,
I picked
the
X-Men.
To kill her or not to kill her.
I have the more and more we know or we get to know about Civil War, the more and more I think Gannon's point is well taken. This thing is so big that it's
a very dense sounding movie to be a single character story.
Civil War is on par with the Secret Wars.
At least
it's just a pan title, pan character, pan storyline event that just like takes everybody in.
Some of those characters we've only just gotten to know,
right?
And now we're like forced to have to deal with their philosophy.
They're going to get short ended.
Yeah,
put into this movie. Where you don't care about them, the readers got to care about
these
people.
Why do people complain? This is what I've been doing. People complain when you try to shoehorn a bunch of heroes in.
Mm-hmm.
Great! I want to see all the costume freaks you got.
Yes.
And I want to see their great spectacular costumes as they run across the screen for 2 seconds.
I'd rather see them than not see them.
Right, exactly.
No, but the thing is that, and this goes back to marginalization, somebody like Black Panther, we know, is going to get his own movie, but he may feel marginalized in a film like this because we're probably he's not going to be the point. Even Spider-Man's going to get.
I hope he doesn't get a big role in this.
Is he?
He's getting more scenes.
Wow!
They said they were done shooting, but now he's in Germany.
He's such an integral part of the books that I'm going to feel slighted if he's not in the movie anymore. Because he's a catalyst to it.
Right.
Without his coming out scene,
right?
He's tangled in the middle, in the whole thing,
because he bounces back and forth.
What a time to bring him into this universe! Ugh. Like right in the middle of that story,
already feel let down.
So, Captain America: Civil War, D23. I'm hoping we're going to get something soon as far as a trailer. Lucky for those guys, they got to see what they got to see of it. So.
They gotta drop the Captain America thing.
For as much as I'm excited about Civil War, I am a little more worried now than I thought I would be. But then again, this is coming from the people, or me, myself, who was worried about Ant-Man, and Ant-Man turned out to be extraordinary. So, you know, Marvel's got this thing locked down, obviously.
I wasn't worried about Ant-Man. And
you weren't?
Yes, you like to remind us all that you were not worried about it.
So prescient.
But I am worried about Civil War, so that should tell you something.
Okay, that should tell you something for sure. You're absolutely
that is definitely
right.
I think Age of Ultron is going to be worried about Civil War.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Ultron kind of left me cold a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
The thing is, there was nothing wrong with the movie. I just wasn't amped about it. They did everything right.
Yeah.
I love the vision.
They had all the elements were there. Yeah. It just felt like something wasn't
It was like
quite
the step
it felt
to the
like
next
a really
movie
long trailer for this movie coming out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, to the point of it being a Captain America movie again, we look further down the slate in Phase 3 and they feel the need also to put Infinity War, which is not just an Avengers. It's everybody in the Marvel Universe who's touched Cosmic, which is every character in the Marvel Universe. That's the Infinity War.
Yeah.
I think it's just
that's where
maybe,
they get to bring in Guardians. They get to bring in.
Yeah, maybe it's just a little bit of insecurity on Marvel's part. They have to, you know,
link
give them a marquee hero group so that people can have an anchor to tie it to at the
good
end.
Good point.
But Age of Ultron should have been The Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel Universe.
It should have been. You're right.
Because that movie ended way too happy. Considering all the things that had happened, Tony Stark and Steve Rogers were still friends when they shouldn't have been.
Right.
And that would have been the perfect setup for Civil War going into it. That they already had some bad blood
there's
between
some
them
tension.
To start with.
There's, okay, got it.
Because the tension already started from the very first movie.
Right.
Age of Ultron should have been Empire Strikes Back, where they still win, but they lost
it's
a lot
still
in
building.
Order to win.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. You can see the tension that they're trying to say they've been building is when they point back to like just the gentle ribbing that
they're just best friends
and that's the reason for the rivalry.
If we put the hammer in the elevator picks it up. It's not, you know, it's just like it felt like it was just a little too jokey towards the end for what could have, what should have been a heavier movie.
Yeah, well, the thing is that Joss, you know, not to get too heavy back onto Age of Ultron, which I'm in total, I'm not in disagreement with you guys, but I loved it much more than you did. Maybe it has more to do with not so much setup. Maybe they don't want the Avengers to set up what's coming.
They didn't want the downer to happen now. They needed it to happen later.
Right. Maybe that was the case. Because, I mean, we do get kind of a downer I didn't expect. We don't know what happened to Bruce Banner. So, you know, maybe...
Well, he's in Civil War, so we'll find out really quickly.
So we'll find out what happened to him. We don't know what happened to him at the end of Age of Ultron.
Destroys half of New York again.
But, but going back to the Joss Whedon thing, we do know that Joss Whedon left a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor, a lot of film. Apparently that movie was 3.5 hours. So, you know, we're never going to get...
Almost four, I think he said.
Was he said four?
I think he said it was
he said
four.
That there's a, he said there will never be a director's cut because he never does director's cuts, but he said all of the footage will be on the Blu-ray. That comes out October 1st, I think. So we're going to be seeing it sooner rather than later. We could have got, we may get a very cool
maybe movie. It'll make the movie make a lot more sense to me.
It's possible.
I mean, it's not that it didn't make sense, but, you know, they kind of rushed through a lot of things, even though it was a very long movie to begin with.
It was. It was 2 hours and 45 freaking minutes is what it was. It was ridiculous.
But I feel like they didn't expand on a lot of key things, even in that 2 hours and 45 minutes.
You don't think so?
No.
There was a lot more with Vision that could have been explored, too.
Yeah.
Vision, I will admit that Vision did feel a little shoehorned in when you think about
it. It still pulled off well.
Yeah, Paul Bettany
I was geeking out on Vision the whole time. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but I could have had more. You know,
these are minor critiques. Right. Yeah, I still really enjoyed
that
movie.
That movie is still like a 4 or 5 star movie, 4.5 star movie
for me. It absolutely was.
And I had, but Ant-Man just beats it by a hair because I was just a little more emotionally invested into Ant-Man than I was with Avengers 2.
That's because you get to relate to Scott Lang.
They broke the level down.
Yeah, they did.
There was just like, you know, 10, 15 characters running around the screen and you're like, it's good, but I'm not. You know, Vision was maybe the guy I was attached to in that movie, but that was about it.
Yeah. I guess you are right. There was a lot going on in Age of Ultron. Can you imagine what Civil War is going to be like? I can't even wrap my brain around it.
As I've been saying, there's more Avengers in Civil War than in the last Avengers movie.
That's right. Absolutely.
They're just going to do a Family Guy style and just keep on doing flashbacks.
They're even bringing over
that
zone
when Black Panther broke
yet.
Into the facility.
See, now all I hear is...
I mean, literally, the only guy in Civil War, the only guy that's not in Civil War is Thor. He's the only guy that's not in Civil War.
Well, doesn't God really have to be beholden?
But then again, he's
not. No, but that's my point. Like, everybody's there except
he doesn't
Thor.
Protect them against themselves.
No, but because they're setting
that's
up for Ragnarok, right? Because he's in Valhalla.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly. I still feel like Thor should.
Yeah, and there's all that turmoil in Valhalla that's still going on.
Correct. So that's why he's there. Sense.
That's going to be an epic movie.
Oh, Ragnarok will be
Thor.
Epic.
And I love Thor: The Lost World. It was great.
You know, I actually did like it a lot more than
a lot
of
people
watch
like
it again.
Matt on it, but I was on
I definitely
it,
liked it more than the first one.
Okay,
if there was a series of superhero movies out of this Marvel thing that I could watch, it would be the Thor ones in series.
I don't know.
Because Iron Man slowly, you know, it had its issues. Everybody knows that.
Sure.
Captain America, whatever, it's very strong.
Right.
I feel like that Thor is definitely the strongest of the solo movies.
I'm getting super
amped up for
Old
Man.
Well, okay. You're talking about
oh my God.
Avengers. You're talking about X-Men.
I don't care.
Don't mention Fox around Disney.
That's right. Don't mention.
It's the only thing that. Well, I can't even.
Can I bring some? Listen, we gotta
give Marvel back to Marvel.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap it up here.
That's a protest I can get behind.
Right, we're gonna wrap it up for the radio guys here shortly. But I will say this, and agree or disagree with me on it. I have
disagree.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now I totally forget what I was going to say.
Yay!
Good job, guys. Nice work. Well, I'll get it later on. Anyway, listen, it's time for us to get out of here. For the radio people that are listening on KAKU 88.5, we certainly appreciate you guys sticking around and listening to the show. We thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed. You can contact us at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can also check us out on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation and on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. We're there as well. Any questions or whatever, or if you just want to, you know, we put up news and reviews about movies, games, and things of that nature. So please feel free to, by all means, feel free to reach out to us if you'd like. Anyway, folks, we are out of time. If you're listening to the radio, if not, stick around because the podcast goes even longer than what we're doing now.
Did you just get a lisp?
I did a little bit of a lisp. Just a little bit of a lisp. I'm trying to remember what I had to say. It's because I'm trying to remember what I was going to ask you guys. Gosh dang it, now it's totally out of my head. Anyway, KAKU, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week for the NerdWatch Radio Hour. So until then, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. Bye-bye. And until next time, bye-bye and aloha. Bye-bye. Anyway, moving on. We're back for the podcast.
Bye-bye.
You see, they changed the colonel on the KFC commercials?
I saw Daryl Hammond in New York while he was still the colonel.
Now it's Norm McDonald.
Thank God it's the podcast.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, those loser radio people. Podcast forever.
Yeah, let's talk about the goofy weird crap that nobody cares about.
I don't give a crap about. Anyway.
We're now radio free.
I'm getting so perturbed for the fact that I can't remember what I was going to tell you guys.
I got it.
You brought up Old Man Logan.
Is that
your trigger?
Ruined me. No. Here's the thing.
Chala, right?
Watching.
His one scene.
Yeah. It has to do with Thor the Dark World.
It's too dark.
There's an issue I have. And maybe you guys can speak to this. When I was watching Thor the Dark World and I was seeing that monolith take over London in the film, I have this issue that the Avengers, because in the age that we live of social media and instant news, that I feel like there's no real give and take. Like, Iron Man would be there in a second.
Well, that's the problem with new movies now, is like, these new directors have the ultimate challenge of setting up all these disaster flicks. In an age, I mean, some of them use the device of, you know, social media and all this instant communication stuff well in their movies. But then again, you go back and look at all these old movies, and the lack of communication sets up so much of the plot. You're like, how are they going to do it nowadays? You know what I mean? Because if everybody can talk to each other instantaneously, a lot of the surprise on all of these disasters doesn't happen.
See, and that's my other problem. Like, I don't understand why, like, Iron Man would be there in his suit in minutes.
Well, I've said this, once you've done the Avengers movie, that's a problem any storyteller's going to have.
Right.
Why doesn't all the Avengers show up?
Any of their solo movies are going to constantly run into that brick wall of, like, why wouldn't so-and-so show up?
How often do you think Thor would ask for help?
He wouldn't, but that's the point. You see some shit happening in London, Iron Man would just go.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
He would just go.
You're absolutely right. And that's what I'm saying.
It would take longer for a lot of the other ones to mobilize, probably. But
it would be perfect to watch the monolith fall and kill the guy and then go into the thing and then Tony Stark shows up. Ah! Oh!
Right. That
scene only took like half an hour.
That's my only issue with the films. And maybe it's a minor quibble, but yeah, that's...
Maybe they called him. And he said, no, I got this one.
He's got me on here. He doesn't need me.
There's a cutscene in Dark where Thor.
Every one of these Marvel movies after Avengers should have a scene where they're all watching TV and be like,
he's got me.
Right?
Yeah, that would explain. That would get rid of your complaint.
Like every movie they do. Tony Stark's just chilling, eating popcorn or something, and be like, he's got it.
Tony Stark's looking at it going, he's a god. Whatever.
Because, I mean, they kind of touch on it on that man.
And then Captain America's like, there's only one God I know.
That's true. He would, too.
You can't throw a shield at that and it doesn't dress like that.
I mean, they kind of touch on it on that man when he's like, shouldn't we be calling the Avengers?
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. That film finally did it. You're right.
Well, how much help are they going to give when you're fighting a giant Thomas the Train Tank?
That's true, too. Man,
no. Might be the breakout scene the Black Widow needs.
You just see Captain America show up like full grown and just be like, all right. Boom, we just teamed up.
Right.
You just flex them like, we just teamed up. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
That would have been like the ultimate anticlimax. If they're both fighting and then you just see Captain America's hand swat.
Just grabs him. All right.
If you're listening to the pod, and that flap was them putting their hands on the table.
Yeah, sorry.
That could be Black Widow's breakout role.
There you go.
It could be. Absolutely right? Could be.
Instead of Cap, it's Black Widow. That's it.
Name-wise, it would have made sense for her to be there. You got Ant-Man, you got Yellow Jacket, and then Black Widow.
Yeah, see?
I want to know how much money they had to kick up for Thomas the Train.
By the way, just to let you folks know, Evangeline Lilly apparently has tried on the suit for Wasp, and she is shooting scenes.
We saw the clickbait.
Did they say she's shooting scenes? I heard they did a scan of her.
Was it just a scan of her?
That's what I've heard.
I thought she was shooting scenes.
For Civil War? I don't know. I haven't heard that.
I mean, I don't think it's very controversial to say she will be the Wasp in one of the next
Unless
movies.
She's going to be a credit stinger.
Credit stinger! Nice!
You saw what I did there?
Nice, you did it again. Uh-huh. You are on it tonight, sir, with those quips. Boom, you're awesome.
Well, but, listen, I mean, that could be it.
That could be it. That absolutely
might be
seeing
a post-credits thing for her.
Oh, man. And Evangeline Lilly's definitely, she's not.
So funny how nerd-friendly that actress has been from Lost, Lord of the Rings, now she's in the Marvel movie.
She's easy on the eyes as well, so that helps quite a bit. So, anyway, listen, moving on from Marvel, I got two stories that I want everybody to comment on, that we want to talk about. Two big stories.
Two
of these stories in particular calls on Gannon's expertise as a horror aficionado.
I see where this is.
He knows the horrors.
He knows the horrors.
There's anything that's what you said, sir.
That's what you're saying.
Now I know me something about some horrors.
He certainly knows about the horrors.
Damn rock stars.
Now again, that's horrors.
Right.
Oh, right.
Horrors.
Well, I'll step away
with
from
two R's. Two R's and no W. That's right. Hollywood has decided to reboot Freddy Krueger once again. This is a story that came out a couple weeks ago. I never had an opportunity to talk to Gannon about this.
It's not the only one either. People forgot that Halloween's also got a reboot coming as well.
Halloween does have a reboot coming up as well. The reason why I bring up Krueger is because he's more iconic than even Mike Myers.
He's the Dracula of the modern age of horror. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have heard very little about the film. Jackie Earle-Haley did the 2010 remake, which wasn't very good. I thought he was a good pick. It's just too bad that the movie was bad.
He was a good pick, but that movie was made more to capitalize on the title as opposed to actually making a movie.
Yeah.
Because too much of that movie was spent trying to recreate scenes from the earlier film, and what they could have done to make the movie that set it apart from the original series, I felt like they could have done that they didn't do. And they just kind of just aimed
put
straight.
Put the claw on the other hand?
Not even that, no. Well, I mean, there was a subplot that I read about when the script was still being banged around that there was going to be a twist to this version of it where he had actually done nothing. He had actually done nothing to the children.
Nothing?
He'd done nothing. That apparently these kids had some sort of weird story that they were passing around with each other and they got him in trouble.
That's how they bring back Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, that was going to be the twist to it, that he had actually done nothing to the kids, and now his revenge is more based on going after the kids for making up this story about it.
That's kind of interesting.
That actually would have been kind of a cool way to go about it. But they didn't do that. They just decided to aim straight at what you'd seen before.
Wow. Well, it, essentially, according to the reports, is that through the fans of most horror fans, Robert Englund is irreplaceable. So they're having an issue. So,
nobody wants to see that man playing Freddy at 70.
Yeah,
he's 68 now. By the time that movie gets going,
but here's where
you won't need makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, he'd been playing Freddy as somebody closer to that age, but I don't know. He couldn't do it now.
All right. So here is the twist for this reboot.
Oh Lord.
Since Freddy Krueger, or excuse me, since the one and only Robert Englund cannot be replaced as Freddy Krueger. They would like Freddy Krueger to be a female Krueger. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Couldn't they just get O'Shea Jackson Jr.?
Felicia Krueger.
That was the sound of my eyes rolling.
That was. According to the report, a couple of suggestions have been made as to who would play a female Freddy.
Haley Atwell.
No.
I'd watch that movie. She wasn't burned.
Patricia Arquette.
What?
She
didn't even come back for part 4. She was in 3.
Don't shoot the messenger. And Rosamund Pike was a close second. Most of the list is an example of what is wrong with recasting Krueger as a woman, but they say that it's quite the possibility. that we will see a female Freddy Krueger this time around in the reboot.
I don't think it'll happen.
So weird.
That won't
and
happen.
She did stuff to the kids?
That'd be an interesting twist, but I just...
She was the
Why don't they just get Paula Poundstone?
Yeah, that's true. Wow, talk about a callback joke. You want to know something funny about that? Just to give you guys a heads up.
You were in the Paula Poundstone.
Paula Pound? No. Paula Poundstone's allegations of her sexual misdeeds? No, I'm they were true. Sure. You know what happened? You know what happened? By the way, you can read up. Just Google
Paula Poundstone. I mean, she's a punchline now.
You want to know why she's a punchline and she never was anything after her career? You know her
shoulder pads.
Her conviction came out?
Yeah.
Her conviction came out on 9/11. During 9/11, that's why.
Yeah. That's so terrible to say that she was like, wow.
Was she in one of the towers?
That big headline of Paula Poundstone was decimated by what happened on 9/11.
You just know she was like,
yeah, exactly. So she lives in anonymity
back
somewhere.
To the left.
It's terrible, but oh boy, did that just say.
Well, hey, let's give Paula Poundstone a quick handleable burst right here.
Yeah?
And be like, Paula Poundstone, we know what you did.
We know what you did, Paula. Nice. Good job, Aliki, and dropping the mic on that one. That's awesome. So anyway, getting back to a woman.
You should be Juliette Lewis. A midget.
I don't. I'm with
you. Attitude.
I don't think this is ever going to happen. But this Lori is what's Petty. Being. This is what's being.
I think this is what Hollywood does now. They let this information out there to see what the reaction is first, and then they reel it right back in once they see the reaction is bad.
Ugh.
That's what I think. I don't think any of these leaks are actually somebody that got some sort of rumor and they're spreading around. I think these guys actually
so
let
there
this
is no new Ghostbusters movie.
To see.
Awesome!
That's true. If Gannon's theory holds correct, all of these publicity shots are bogus.
Man. That's the situation.
Yeah, these are just phony. Oh, that would be great if that was the truth.
These are production people letting the leak come out to see if there's an actual buzz about it, to see if they can roll it.
Just to see if that idea can catch some heat, and obviously it's not going to.
It's not going to. A female Freddy Krueger.
Now, I'm not against them rebooting it, though. No. That's the other thing. Is it, you know, if somebody can come along and make
Where is the nerd rage?
Huh?
You should be like furious.
I didn't rage that much over the last remake, honestly. I just remember watching and being like, and seeing all of the missed opportunities.
Very mature.
But But here's the thing, though. The Friday the 13th reboot was actually not bad.
I didn't watch it. It actually found a way to take the first four and condense them in a pretty solid movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I thought that the ending was a little weak, but I thought that the movie was good overall.
They somehow took the first movie and just made it the first 5 minutes of the remake, and they actually don't really lose anything because you actually know. Where you get enough information to where it was going.
So, to me, it seems as if that this... You're right. This does seem as if this is just bait for people to get ticked off about. So, with that in mind...
Somebody's like, Ghostbusters and they're all chicks? Let's do the same thing.
Let's do the same thing with Freddy, right, and see what they say about it. By the way, if you haven't seen it, I haven't posted it because I refuse to. It makes me not a good journalist.
We don't want
to
push our agenda on people.
That's right. Chris Hemsworth is on a bike, in uniform.
That's the most infuriating picture ever. Like,
you did see that there was equipment on the bike, right?
There was. No, I saw.
Every other picture I kind of let slide. That one is like...
With a big smile.
Oh. Like, it's purposefully emasculating.
Right, purposefully.
So it's
he's
it's,
now Rick Moranis.
Well, he's the male Janine.
Yeah.
Right. It's bad.
I wouldn't be surprised that he's kind of both those characters. Yeah. Like, the Louis Tully and Janine characters kind of put into one.
Put into one? Yeah. That makes sense.
He's the gatekeeper and the...
he's the gatekeeper and the keymaster?
You know? You just know there's going to be a scene...
He is Thor.
You just know there's going to be a scene in that movie that once they get the team together, like, okay, we need a secretary. And it's just going to be they're going to run through a bunch of guys.
And then
Chris Hemsworth walks in and be like, he's perfect.
With no skill whatsoever.
You just
whatsoever,
know that
like
scene
hired.
Is in there. You right. just know that scene
and
is in there.
And we're guessing that he's a complete and total airhead.
Yeah.
Probably.
From the shot, at least, from what they're showing.
Because you're going to want to play
he's like my thing, old.
It's bad. The Ghostbusters movie looked bad. But, of course, we're going to watch it when it comes out just to see how horrible it is.
All I can say is if that trailer comes out and I look at him and be like, no, you know what? That might actually turn out to be all right. I'd be impressed if just the trailer could win me back.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that's holding me is the trailer.
Well, we didn't see any of the special effects or any of the ghosts or how they're going to handle any of that. All we're seeing is the outfits.
Yep.
Outfits, the car.
The car, they gotta make the photon packs.
Well, they're trying to reboot it and make it look gritty real, like if it was real life, these nerd people wanted to kill ghosts and whatever.
Isn't it New York shot?
Shot in Boston.
The first mistake they made is shooting a New York movie in Boston.
Yep.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Because that first Ghostbusters movie is so New York.
You know what I look forward to, having lived in Boston, is for, I know that Bostonian people hate New York with a passion.
Yeah.
And there's going to be all kinds of Easter eggs of Boston people in the background just harshing on New York and making it the most anti-New York movie ever.
Yeah. Maybe that's why there's going to be so much negative energy.
I think
everybody's going to
be. The slime's going to flow.
There you go.
Below the city.
Well, it's interesting. I don't see how. To be honest, the reason why they're shooting in Boston is it's New York's fault. New York is not being kind to film to films being made unless you have big bucks.
So well, if you've been to both cities, yeah. You'll notice that it's easier to film in Boston. There's a lot more room to walk. There's a lot less human traffic in Boston than there is in New York.
Which means
York
it's not like, going to look like New York at all then.
Right. Exactly. No, I mean, basically.
I think we should find somebody that's less discriminatory when it comes
to Boston.
Boston's
just a better
look,
city.
All I'm trying to say is Jeter blows.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. That's it. Whatever. We get it.
What's a
and
cheater?
A-Rod swallows. Come on.
What's a cheater?
That's the new ghost that follows him around. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a new Slimer?
They're
changing everything.
It's crazy. I'm getting so upset about this. One more story that I'd like to give you gents this evening is a story that deals with, once again, Gannon posted this one. Has to do with...
It's a Gannon heavy episode.
It is.
I know. Well done, sir.
Well, he posted up some pretty interesting articles, and one happened to be about the Alien film, the Neil Blomkamp Alien film.
Mm.
This is a kind of a big deal, because Neil Blomkamp has been tapped to do the film for quite some time.
Right.
Boy, does he need this movie to work out.
Yes, he does. He does immensely.
Give Alien back
after
to Marvel.
Chappie was such a big hit.
Oh, what, that was terrible. Anyway, Michael Biehn, the man...
Mr. Biehn?
Michael Biehn gave fanzine an update on Neil Blomkamp's Alien. He told fans at the Sheffield Film and Comic Con that he's been talking with the director about the movie. Although he hasn't seen a script nor has officially been offered the role of Corporal Hicks, he says that 20th Century Fox is still hot on the project. And according to them, it tells us that they're being forced to hold off until Ridley Scott gets into production on his long gestating Prometheus sequel.
Is it really that long? That was 2012.
Yeah. This means a lengthy development process for Blomkamp's Alien and a potential release in 2018.
So but that would ultimately mean Prometheus 2 in 2017 followed up by Alien 5.
Right. Which is fine. Right. That's a good way to do it.
That's actually, I got no problem with that.
That's actually really good.
So Blomkamp is working on the script and refining the tale he is telling, and Ridley Scott is still producing it, but has insisted on Prometheus 2 being made first.
Good. I mean, so, I think we need to wrap up what's going on with Prometheus.
Yeah, it should be.
You don't want
the
Alien
prequel
5,
should be set.
You don't want Alien 5 to eclipse Prometheus 2 either, because Alien 5 is the proper franchise. That's when everybody's going to be excited. I mean, Sigourney Weaver's back and everything else. You're going to want to see that.
That's
a whole lot more in Prometheus 2 if you know those are coming.
Right, because if you watch Alien 5 before Prometheus 2...
You might not
2,
have an
you
appetite
may not,
for Prometheus 2.
Right.
You might not care as much.
Right, absolutely. So at least Michael Biehn was able to clarify and to let us know that it is happening.
So it's like
Alien 5...
on the same page.
Is happening. But you know what? Right. The fact is that I'm assuming, just because I'm no Ridley Scott, is that they will cross. There will be a, obviously, will
sure.
be something.
This is a good opportunity to make everything coherent. In
absolutely.
Timeline.
Absolutely. I think it's not, I don't think it's going to
so
be a
funny.
Question. So,
considering, I remember when they were like, no, Prometheus had nothing to do with it.
Well, I remember when that was the case, and then the ending of Prometheus really threw everybody. It didn't throw anybody for a loop. Everybody was ticked off that they didn't get that in the first place.
I was not made in a petri dish.
Yeah, so you know, I'm for all intents and purposes, for as agonizing as it was to watch that movie, I liked it.
I enjoyed it.
I liked
it.
I think Prometheus was a good setup for a really good second film.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Because there was just so much narrative stuff. Because
there
was so much narrative stuff to cut through in the first movie. So much stuff to set up that you'd never heard about until that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's out of the way.
Right.
So Prometheus 2 can be a stronger film.
Much stronger.
You're not going to be held down by having to explain anything.
Well, and one amazing thing about Prometheus is how they tied the spaceman, H.R. Giger's original spaceman, into the whole
movie.
And then
cool.
It was just like a keystone falling into place. It was like, you know.
Right. You're absolutely right. I think that was a great, that was great.
Then you see the living engineer sit down in the chair as, you know, how they found the fossilized astronaut before.
Whether you were on board with that or not,
right.
It's still great that Ridley Scott was the guy that got to explain. Because nobody ever tried in the first four movies to ever touch on who that guy was.
Well, listen.
It was just the thing you saw in the first movie, and then
yeah, it was just a cool set piece, and then nobody thought about it.
Yeah, nobody in the three preceding films ever even thought to touch on that.
Good point. That is a very good point. I will say this. The one thing that I learned from Prometheus was to learn how to run serpentine. That was what I learned. Okay? There's one thing that I learned from Prometheus is to run
serpentine.
I'm going
to shout that next time there's something chasing
me. That's right. Run serpentine! Serpentine!
Or just go right.
Just go right! Something! Anything!
Where is that thing going? Don't go that way.
That's right. That's right. You're really giving blondes a bad name
here.
Weren't
you a military girl?
I know, right? Just didn't really... That's the one thing that bothered the crap out of me in that movie, but I'll let that go.
It's a great visual until you think about it for 2 seconds.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely is.
That's what we get out of, like, a lot of movies.
That's true. It's very true.
I mean, I learned how to run serpentine. I learned how to hack the Gibson.
That's right.
You know, if you staple gun your stomach, you're good after
you're
that.
Right?
Good,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A flat-out fight scene, you won't grip your stitches.
I learned how to take out splinters from watching Rambo.
Listen, I learned that I can pick up parts to build a machine that takes things to other universes, and I can find them all in junkyards.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Especially if there's a kindly young redhead there to help you steal it from his family.
Steal it from his family. I've learned from the movies.
Yeah, pretty much,
it's right there. It's, hey, whatever. Well, listen, gentlemen, before we take off and get out of here, I do have a couple of things I'd like to transition from movies to games, if I could. Star Wars, well, getting back to Star Wars from the game side of things, Star Wars Battlefront Star Wars Battlefront is coming out this November.
With
before
a special edition Darth Vader console.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you buried my story. That's fine.
Just taking too long to get there, man.
I know, apparently. Yeah. Done. Thanks
you
for,
said we were
thanks
for
stepping
up.
All over know, my story, right? Man.
Four score wait, and did, 7 years ago.
This is
there
the
was
second
a...
part of the show. Have you reintroduced yourself yet?
That's right, I'm G Money. I'm sorry. Format, Gannon, Scotty D, Alika in the house. Anyway, no. Star Wars Battlefront is coming to consoles, and Star Wars has decided to make an exclusive PS4 console with the head of Darth Vader on the console itself, and a very cool looking PS4 controller. It's on the Nerdwatch right now, facebook.com/nerdwatch. I don't know if you've seen the PS4; it's pretty sick.
The controllers are as
if there balls. Is if you. I'm pretty sure that if you haven't gotten a PS4, you might as well wait and reserve this because this thing looks amazingly cool. This even looks, to be honest, I think this looks better than the Batman Arkham Knight PS4. So
the case, yeah, the controller, not so much.
A lot of people,
I'm not a big fan of the controller.
A lot of people aren't, but I actually like this one's controller because of the way how far apart the thumbsticks are. I have a better time controlling. I like it.
I'm a fan of the PS4 controller.
Oh,
but not this Star Wars version.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Why? What don't you like
about
it?
I'm not seeing what's different about it.
There's nothing. There's just it's just a paint. It's a paint job.
Yeah, that's all it is.
It's a paint job. It's just a paint job.
So what we're saying is that the joysticks or the thumbsticks just should have been two lightsabers that you just
tweaked. Right? Or aerial.
One blue, one red. You just after a while, you're just fighting them instead of playing the game.
Yeah,
speaking of Star Wars, did you? I posted on the Nerdwatch too. Just a little sidebar. Frickin' Japan. What is up with Japan, yes. Man?
They've been
Nippon
doing stuff
Air,
like that for ages.
They're like,
it's the time to visit Japan.
They're painting like their planes into Star Wars characters.
They can paint them into weirder things.
I'm sure they have. But leave it to
phallically
Japan.
Phallically shaped things in particular.
Leave it to Japan to
entire
to up the nerd quotient, like I
and
said before.
Just tentacles.
That is insane. I can't even believe it. But yeah, I wanted to mention the...
Japan in general, though, is huge on Star Wars. Huge.
Yeah.
Have you seen... there's a district with the snow, and they build giant...
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. That was amazing.
I mean, isn't that amazing. Where they release the trailer with the extra bit in the movie?
Yeah.
Japan!
Yeah.
It's Japan.
It's Japan.
I guess it is.
Hashtag it's Japan.
All right. Whenever we have a story about Japan, we'll hashtag that it's Japan story, I guess. The other big thing in some gaming news that I wanted to bring up was, for those of you that are Batman Arkham Knight fans, Gannon brought it up, but now we will be getting a new proper story-based DLC A lot of people were disappointed in A Family Matter. Was it called
wasn't.
Family Matter?
Matter of Family.
Matter of Family. The
I wasn't, yeah, though.
No, you weren't.
I liked it.
They said
it's a little short, but
short.
I enjoyed it.
I was a fan of Family Matters.
I hated Urkel. He's such a bastard.
Yeah, I know.
But yes, there is a new proper DLC coming out. That they're going to be. It's a story DLC that like you said, that they just got the new 1989 Batmobile and a Batman pack. We just got that.
A whole bunch of character skins.
Yeah, a whole bunch of character skins they got.
It's a little weird playing a Michael Keaton looking Batman, but with Kevin Conroy's voice. It's a little strange.
And nipples.
No nipples.
No nipples on that one.
1989, no nipples.
No nipples on that one, yeah.
Got the Michael Keaton physique, though, very slender looking.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to mention those two because they're movie properties and a little nerdy and things like that. So
getting the Tumblr, too.
Yeah, you're getting the Tumblr, the Dark Knight Tumblr, even. Mm-hmm. So. And I have yet to finish that game.
I'm like 5% done.
I'm still
on the chemical plant.
I'm 3% done. Oh, I finished that. So maybe I am a little farther than you. Maybe I'm 6%.
I haven't even touched it, and I know I'm further than Greg.
I can't beat the Arkham Knight in the helicopter.
Look, can I tell you? Can I tell you why? Because I posted this on the Nerdwatch before. Destiny and all my friends are going back to playing Destiny again. So now
I thought you were going to blame it on fate or something.
It's not my destiny.
I'm always cursing.
I'm like, what?
It's Destiny. Dang it, it's
the
Destiny.
The fates have aligned.
Well, no, the game Destiny, all my friends are playing it again. And then we had, of course, they finally did something they did over a year ago, which was they brought the Galahorn back so you could buy it, and everybody was buying it up. I bought one, and we all started playing again. So I've been doing that and stupid Mortal Kombat, which I'm actually starting to get decent at now. So all of my gaming, even The Witcher, because Witcher 3
was amazing.
Don't get me started on that game. They just came out with a new game plus mode. Holy cow.
You can probably do Ganon, three podcasts.
Ganon knows how much I talk about that game.
This podcast will go into overtime now.
November is just going to be a horrible month.
It's going to be
there's so much awesomeness coming out in November.
Yeah, there's just to let you know, there's going to be a new Halo Xbox coming out October. So it's going to be, there's a lot of stuff coming out. Hey, telling you, with the updates that are being made to the Xbox, it's insane.
Mass Effect.
How good the Xbox is becoming, or it currently is. It's crazy. I prefer to play my Xbox
over my PS4.
Are their
sales still in a slump, though?
They're not, but they're still not able to outsell. They've only been able to outsell PS4 once, and that was I think in the month of April or May.
I hate consoles.
So
I hate them.
You hate consoles?
I hate them.
Consoles or consoles?
Both.
That Jedi Council, especially, right?
Especially that
and
Jedi
horrors.
I hate this Nerdwatch Council.
Yeah, all the horrors of the night, yeah? Jeez.
There's not enough horrors in here.
Yeah.
What kind of console tower is this?
Right?
All right. Two more
half groupies.
Oh, I thought we were talking about
Stop
horrors.
Stop it. All right, two more things I wanted to get to. One being that I finally posted on the Nerdwatch now, we need your vote on whether or not, or what film to do for our commentary. We're going to be doing
You finally posted that? When did you post that?
I posted
tonight.
Today? Yeah. Gives them a week. Gives everybody a week.
But we talked about this last week.
I was debating.
That would have been 2 weeks.
I didn't want to keep it up too long. That was my thing. I wanted to keep it up for just a week.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's what she said. Sorry.
So I wanted to keep it up for the week. There are three films on our commentary. There's three films on our commentary that we have to pick from. Escape from L.A., Ghostbusters 2, and Dead Alive.
Dead
Alive is on there. If we do Dead Alive and that gets enough votes.
Vote for Dead Alive.
You can go to Facebook.com/NerdWatch. Vote on it in the comment section which movie you'd like us to do a commentary for, and that's the commentary we will do. If we do Dead Alive, I'm definitely going to be leaning on Ganon for a lot of the info, because as much as I like that movie, I know very little about it, so I'm going to have to do some research. So
you got a week two now. Catch up.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. So Dead Alive, Ghostbusters 2, and Escape from L.A., which is, I love Escape from L.A.
What's the original? It's New York. The new one is L.A., okay.
New one is L.A.,
where
yes.
We found out that Snake Plissken can surf.
Yes, Snake can surf with Peter Fonda, even. Man, I love Escape from L.A. I love Escape from L.A. So anyway, that was what I wanted to bring up first. And then lastly, I wanted to talk about the new movies that are coming out this week. We got a couple of new films. First being Agent 47, finally is hitting theaters, a Hitman Agent 47.
Finally, like you've been waiting?
Yeah!
I love me some Hitman. That first one was a huge blockbuster.
You mean there was 46 better ones than you?
guess what I just remembered. I can't even believe
your age.
This is the 50th episode.
Aw, nobody brought cake.
And no, nobody brought cake, number
one. You said that last week.
The cake is a lie! Oh, wait, what?
But last week, I asked everybody to bring their top five movies and their bottom two worst movies. Did anybody happen to do that?
I did.
In the summer? You did!
Because I do my homework.
I have it done as well. We can do that momentarily. Gannon, are you prepared for that or not?
I've been pursuing some other endeavors.
Oh!
Have you even seen seven movies this summer?
At least.
All right. So shall we save
good
it?
Ones.
Should we save it for maybe do a special shorter pod next week and do a top
5? Don't dedicate like a shorter minutes to it because...
We did the shorter pod before the commentary.
Yeah, we'll do the shorter pod before the commentary.
Okay, done. So next week, a very special shorter episode. Top 5 movies of the summer, bottom 2 movies of the summer. I have mine. Format has his. Hopefully you guys will get yours next week as well.
I haven't watched Fantastic Four yet.
Stop it. Well, maybe you guys will catch up this week. You guys can go together. That'd be great. At least you'd know.
That would be great.
That would be awesome. So we'll save our top 5 and our bottom 2 for next week. I can't even believe that I forgot about that. But anyway, the last thing I wanted to bring up was the new movies coming out this weekend. We do get Agent 47 hitting theaters. I think that's the only, you would say, nerd watch movie to see.
You wouldn't think Sinister 2 is?
So wait, did anybody go to see Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
No, not yet. I want to.
We were going to.
Wow.
But someone went and said, let's do Compton.
No, Compton for sure. Compton over anything. Sure. But I thought by now you would have seen Man from U.N.C.L.E. as well.
All right. So here's the thing.
Someone hijacked the invite.
I wanted to say that Hitman would probably be the nerd movie. Sinister 2, I was going to bring up. I don't know if that falls into the same category, but I do know this, that I really like the first movie.
I did too.
I really like the first movie, the one with Ethan Hawke.
I've actually been noticing lately a lot of horror movies, they've been leaning back on music as the thing that drives the horror lately.
I like that
one was big on that.
I like that.
That one, it follows in particular.
If you've never seen Sinister 2, it's worth the price of admission.
We don't know about Sinister 2 yet.
I mean, excuse me, if you haven't seen the first one, excuse me. Great, great movie. Really liked it. I liked where it was going. Ethan Hawke is good. He's good in anything.
They fumbled the ball a little bit at the end, but it wasn't that bad.
So yeah, we're getting Sinister 2. We're also getting a film which is really strange. I've seen the previews only came out like a couple weeks ago, I think. The one with Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart called
American Ultra.
It looks,
but that's a smaller movie though. Like that's not gonna be a big blockbuster kind of thing.
No, it looks so weird though. Like it seems like a stoner.
Well,
comedy.
It goes back to what he was doing with like Zombieland and all that weird stuff. Like he's playing on his success as like some indie character or whatever. But
what did the trailer say? It's like if Pineapple Express made a baby with.
Something
else that makes this
movie with pot in it.
Well,
I guess.
No, that was Pineapple Express.
Oh, well, but the American Ultra is still based on that same kind of concept where
he's a sleeper agent, and somehow in this life he's got now, he's this stoner.
He's
dude,
a total stoner,
and
dude,
he's
right.
just like not. He's a pacifist, so he doesn't. He's like scared of his abilities.
Topher Grace is.
Oh, yeah, I was like, if
Topher Grace,
Jason Bourne had sex with.
Yeah,
Pineapple Express. This is a movie, you're
right? Getting. It kind of seems that way. And it doesn't look very good, to be honest. I didn't laugh once at the trailer. I didn't think anything was.
Well, the
funny.
Problem is, Jesse Eisenberg's a hard sell for me. I've never watched him in a movie and been like, wow, this
guy's didn't see
dying.
Social Network then.
He
was good in that.
No, he was. I'll admit, he was good in that. Definitely. Yeah, American Ultra's a tough sell.
Zombieland's good, but it's not him that makes Zombieland.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, of course. It's all Bill the good Murray. Cameos and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
It's Bill Murray.
By the way, according to my movie list,
just like BBS,
Sinister
he's
2
not gonna
comes
be the
out
main draw
on
that.
The 28th.
What's that?
Sinister 2 comes out on the 28th.
Oh, I thought that was this week.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh,
according
my
to this, comes, Sinister 2 comes out on
the
28th.
So
don't
what's
look
the
forward
other
to
movie
Sinister
that
2.
Comes out?
We have Hitman, Agent 47. American Ultra is the other big movie that comes out.
That's it.
And then the week after that, we're getting, or the week, or that the following week is Sinister 2 and Z for Zachariah, which is the other big movie.
Oh, that's this summer already?
That's this summer already. According to this, I think it's a limited release, though.
What it was about? A book that we had to read in middle school.
Oh.
It was. It's about right. It's about the end of the world.
And it was supposed to be just her and one man left on the planet. And
correct.
They try to learn how to trust each other. But
now the movie is added
But then they ate the apple and the snake.
The sex scenes are going to be great.
It's not about the Garden of Eden, sir. It's about the end of the world.
Yes, the other end of the creation story.
Yeah, yeah.
So when, when does the movie for Where the Red Fern Grows come out?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because September 2nd, A Walk in the Woods comes out. So you're pretty close.
I'm waiting for Tu Wong Fu comes back out.
Well, listen.
Are you going to redo the same Old Yeller?
Oh.
Doesn't matter how old he is.
That's too funny. September, unfortunately, of course, as we all know, is one of the dumping grounds of movies that you don't think are going anywhere. January and September are the 2 months. So we're not going to get much in September. We're getting Transporter Refueled in September. We're getting the only movie that has any momentum is Maze Runner: The Scorch Trials. If you like those. But that's it. Everything else is kind of like, eh.
The trailer is kind of interesting, actually. I haven't even seen the first one.
Would you like to know what movie they're dumping in September, according to this release calendar? According to this release calendar, they're dumping The Green Inferno in September.
That's going to be a good one, I think. I've been looking forward to that one.
That's by the way, if you don't know, that's the Eli Roth film about the
conservationist. Where he completely rips off Cannibal Holocaust, basically.
Cannibal Holocaust. That's what it looks like.
Basically.
But The Green Inferno, according to this, says it's coming out September 25th. Odd, because I figured that would be an October movie. I don't know.
It's close enough, I think. They're probably expecting it to gain traction going into October.
I hope so.
You're getting Point Break, too.
It isn't...
That's in December, though.
Isn't it's in September.
Isn't the last Paranormal movie coming out in October?
They moved it to December. Trust me. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, he would know. He's the guy that works at the theater.
The last Paranormal, isn't that October?
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
That could be why. They probably want to keep it away from that.
And for some reason...
I really want to see that.
For some reason, just to let you know, they've decided to stop advertising the film in theaters. I don't know why.
Paranormal Activity 5?
Yeah. Why? It's weird. You got to take down, according to what's happening, they got to take down all the posters and all this other stuff. All of the advertising.
The trailer was on.
Don't know why.
Yeah, I know. I saw the trailer.
Yeah, it's weird. I have no idea why. I have to get a firm date, but since we're in this release talk... The Iron Giant is coming back to theaters for 2 nights.
Oh, man.
Here?
In October.
Is
yes,
it
it's going to be a it's going to be a Fathom event. Not only that, Brad Bird is doing an introduction and
Brad Bird's coming here?
No joke. He's adding two additional scenes to the movie.
Oh, my.
Well, who knows? You know, there could be something good.
Do you know when it is?
It's in October. Okay. I'll get a firm date on that.
I can't wait to see that again.
I'll be on it.
Too soon.
Iron Giant is a fantastic movie.
Yeah. Like it is.
Well, yeah.
That movie made me cry, man.
It did.
It genuinely did.
I think he's calling it the premium version of Iron Giant. Is what I'm...
With 20% more giant.
Yeah, that's what it is. Iron Giant...
It is gianter.
Tony Stark's daddy.
I'm sorry. It's called the Signature Edition. Iron Giant Signature Edition.
That sounds so much cooler than Director's Cut, apparently.
Apparently it does. And it is happening... Oh, maybe I was wrong. It's
Signature
not in October.
Edition? So it's coming from
it's
Kirkland,
September,
right?
It's Wednesday, September 30th.
Oh, it's even sooner.
Yeah, it's September 30th. And nice. Maybe I'm wrong, but there's going to be a second showing in October, like October 2nd or something. So... I'm down for watching. It's a remastered version of the film with new scenes.
Yeah, they're re-releasing on Blu-ray for an anniversary.
I cannot wait.
So they're showing it off the theaters first.
Be very excited to watch The Iron Giant yet again. That'd be fantastic. So anyway, guys, I think that's it. I don't think there's any need for us to go watch the premiere of Agent 47. But if you'd like, I'm more than willing to jump on board. So just let me know. I'm down if you want to watch Agent 47.
I'm really okay not watching that movie.
Are you? Or is it because you're just too busy doing other things?
I would watch Agent 47. Well,
let's just say I'd rather keep my schedule open.
I'd watch American Ultra before I'd watch Agent
American Ultra seems...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It seems more interesting to me than Agent 47.
That's amazing. That's because I guess maybe it's because I like the games and maybe I'm going to give it
a shot. I just can't believe
that
there is an Agent 47. Like, was the first movie even a hit?
No, it wasn't.
No,
how the hell did they talk anybody into making a second?
I completely agree with you.
Because even the game series isn't big.
No.
Not anymore.
Not at all. But there is going to be a new Hitman coming out this November.
Boy, mystifying that got a sequel.
Yeah. So, you know...
I don't think it's a sequel.
No, but in either case, it's you know, falls in the, right, in the original right. story.
It is a reboot, and it also stars Zachary Quinto, I guess, is the heavy in the film.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah, he's in it. So the previews make it look good. So hopefully, you know, we can hope
it's
for the best.
Got some cool imagery in it.
Yeah, it does. It does. The guy looks nothing like the hitman, and the bald head thing. It's more like a it's more of a shaved head than anything. But eh,
he talks a lot.
He does, and the hitman doesn't talk. Yeah, hitman doesn't talk. But then again, you have to have a protagonist that is engaged. So I can understand that.
You can do the whole thing with narratives.
I totally felt like you could take the Agent 47 and switch him with the transporter new guy, and it would be the same movie. Yeah.
That transporter movie doesn't look very good.
They both talk the same. They both act the same. They're
dressed the same.
We've seen a preview for that. It does not
drive the same car. They pick up the same blonde chicks.
Pick up the same blonde.
If they were both bald, it would be the same
movie.
It would
be the same movie. All right, well, then Transporter's
Agent 47
out.
Drives
how did
fast.
How did they not get
Transporter said 47.
Yeah, how did they not get Jason Statham to do another Transporter movie? It can't be that hard to get.
I'm guessing that Statham's in it, handing the keys off to the kid or something.
You think?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Well, let's be honest.
I think they're saying,
trying to franchise it up.
Well, here's the thing, is that it's already been a TV series.
Yeah, it was a TV show.
Yeah, that's right,
it's been a TV series. Wow. So maybe this is the franchise. Maybe this is just another thing.
Once you've had a second, you can have a third Transporter.
Well, I think the three Transporter movies we got with Jason Statham were so over the top and so ridiculous. They were fun, though. I liked them. Yeah. I thought they were fun. I don't think there's anything wrong.
They definitely devolved as the movie.
They did.
Yeah. The first one was pretty decent. The second one was like getting a little crazy. The third one was like, I don't even know.
And the car is flipping over so he can dislodge the bomb.
I just couldn't get over that fight scene where he dramatically tore off his shirt in the middle of it for no reason.
Okay, good point.
Just a Michael Jackson in the middle of the whole fight.
When you're at the triangle, that's how things go down.
Yes.
For those that don't know that, listen, the triangle is a place in Kihei on the lovely island of Maui.
Take off your slippers.
Oh, if you live on Maui, you know what the triangle is.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, for those that aren't living in Maui, for those that listen, just in case.
All our listeners are from Maui.
Of course they are. Well,
if you live on Maui, you know triangle's the best place to get liquored up and get into a fight.
That's correct, sir. Absolutely correct.
Looking for a fight and then some alcohol, triangle's your place.
And then you can just rip your clothes off and...
Good to go.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There's some grease you can lather up in.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Listen, it got kind of
crazy.
Those
Transformer movies are actually a little bit more homoerotic than I think most people
think. Maybe you're right.
He did get greased up to fight a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
He's like, yeah. I've been waiting for this moment.
Right? I'm going in.
And out.
What?
Oh.
Anyway.
I don't know. What happened?
Gentlemen.
This podcast's devolving.
It's devolving.
Yeah.
Format.
This is like episode 4.
Yeah, it is.
Format. Where are we on? We're on episode 50 or something? Yeah. I'm surprised we
this has been
even
episode,
keep it together.
This has been episode 50 of the podcast. Thanks for coming in to celebrate with us. We certainly appreciate it. Format of Gannon, Alika, and Scotty D, thanks for being in the house. Next week, we'll be doing a podcast and a commentary. You are the guys who are going to let us know.
Episode 51.
That's right. Episode 50. It's not going to be episode, well.
Oh, 50 and a half.
Huh?
It is. No, it is. Commentary is episode, we're in episode 4 of the commentary.
50.4.
Right, 50.2. 50.5 is half. 50 and a half. 50.1.
I don't do halves.
Oh, you don't do halves. That's right. All right. Dadgummit. Well, gentlemen, thanks for coming by today. If you guys want to do a Hitman, let me know. I'm okay with it.
Quarters.
Not a problem.
Quarters.
So, Gannon, I think if we do it this time, I won't text you. I won't text you. I'll leave you alone. I get it.
I'll text you.
Yeah. I'm so saying right doing? Now, if it's that movie, I'm out anyway. Okay, regardless of what I've got going on this weekend.
All right, good.
Come down.
No? Yeah, right. I could just be hanging out at home.
That's it.
Like,
so everybody on Thursday night at like 7:30, just start texting Gannon. So, you coming?
Well, I am, but I'm not.
Ah, boom. Jeez. Of course,
as always, what I respect about the Nerdwatch is you guys don't have to work blue.
That's
you
right.
Just that good.
Blue. That's just that good. Who needs blue? No one needs to work blue. I want to send a big thank you out to
I'm
Alika.
Married,
yeah. Big shout out to Alika for providing such a wonderful space at Kamaui Comics and Collectibles.
And thank you guys for always coming.
We
man.
Always enjoy being here. We enjoy being around the comic book store. Andre. And if you're in town, guys, please, by all means, come on down to 333 Derry Road, Maui Comics
money.
And Collectibles. Support local business. That's what I say. Support local business.
But in particular, this store.
This store, Maui Comics and Collectibles. Matter of fact,
Spend the wolf.
Just to advertise to you all, Alika procured the run of Daredevil. The original.
I'm working with the owner right now. We're going to be curating this incredible. I've already sold about 3 years ago a set of Daredevil low to mid grade,
right?
For the entire run, 1 to 300.
Wow.
This collection, the issue number one is worth what that collection is worth.
No
this is
way.
The number one is in at least 7.0 condition.
Isn't that the one where he's in that silly suit?
It's the yellow suit.
The red and yellow.
Issues yeah. 1 through 6 is the the yellow suit, and then issue 7 he gets the red suit. The famous Namor cover.
Right.
But this collection is immaculate. Like, this is what collectors look for when they look through the box. They grade at over 7.0 right. up until the 30s. And then once you're still in the Silver Age books, they're all up in very fine. And then you get into Frank Miller territory, and those books are hitting near mints.
Wow.
And so I was just salivating going through these boxes. It was a beautiful set.
So he's got all 1 through 300.
1 to 300.
Wow.
Probably and then some, but, those are the comics that people care about is usually up to the 1 to 200 range. And,
Are keys.
Yeah, so we're working on getting it out and curating it, and he's out of town for a little while. Once he's back, we're gonna start showing it to private collectors and people who want to look at it. And then if it makes it to that point, we may even piece it out and get it up on the walls. But we've already got quite a few hits in the couple of days that the word's been out.
Wow. Fantastic. Good stuff, sir. Also, just in case you didn't know, he's also got the first 5 issues of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, those are going to be hurt to watch go. Those are my personal Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics, but they are all first printings, issues 1 through 5, CGC graded.
And what do they say when you run a comic book store? You can no longer be a collector.
That's Chuck Brzezinski from Mile High Comics, one of the great collectors of all time. And one of the great store owners of all time, and he's right. If you own a store, you cannot collect. So,
wow,
it's been a painful process, but and so my loss is everyone's gain. There's a Ninja Turtles one on the market right now.
Oh, fantastic! So check it out, Maui Comics and Collectibles. If you're a collector or if you just enjoy comics and you enjoy being around the culture, come on down. It's a lot of fun. It's a nice place to come to in a sea of just nothingness. It's nice to come.
Bring
to a place
your families.
Where you
I mean,
bring
we
your
have
family.
Video games. You can put anything you want on the TV.
Fantastic! It's nice to have Alika have a place where people can come to and feel comfortable and not have to worry.
Until
about
we
anything.
Show up.
That's right.
It's our time now.
That's right. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles after hours. That's when things get crazy. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here this week.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Man, I love all you guys. You guys are fantastic. Just to let you know, if you are going to watch a movie, watch Straight Outta Compton. It's worth every penny. It's even though it is not exactly the correct version of what happened with NWA, it's still a fun movie to watch. You shouldn't miss it. I want to own that when it comes out.
For sure.
I want to own it. I had a good time with it. So, ladies and gentlemen, till next week, commentary, and then we have our top 5 and bottom 2 movies of the summer. All right? It's a perfect time for it as well. So until then, boys and girls, peace out, much love, most assuredly, always stay nerdy, and until next week, we say to you, aloha!